This year, wouldn't it be great to stop dealing with thin, brittle, shedding hair and instead have the thick, healthy, gorgeous hair you've always wanted? Now you can by using Hair Volume from New Nordic. Look for Hair Volume at your local Walgreens and CVS or online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
My daughter is normally a little goofball. But after a bad night's sleep, she's too tired to be anything. That's why I trust Pure Z's Kids. Pure Z's Kids is mindfully formulated just for kids. Their non-habit-forming, drug-free products help my daughter fall asleep naturally, giving her the rest to be her best.
I'm a dinosaur.
Best dinosaur.
Pure Z's Kids. For ages 4 and up when needed. Explore our products at ZQuil.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Nachos!
Hey, I'll take some.
And some Frank's Red Hot.
Nah.
You're just gonna eat these boring nachos with no flavor. Frank it up! Frank it up! This guy finally gets it.
It's the perfect blend of flavor and heat. Frank's Red Hot. I put that on everything.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Mark Kremillard. Republican Nikki Haley shifting her campaign's focus to her home state of South Carolina after another loss to frontrunner Donald Trump in last night's New Hampshire primary. Haley vowing to continue her campaign. Boeing CEO meeting with senators today discussing the latest safety concerns around the company's 737 MAX 9 jets. The planes remain grounded. Alaska Senator Dan Sullivan says that's impacting his state's namesake airline.
Of the fleet of Alaska Airlines. That's pretty much how all of my constituents travel, not just within Alaska, but all over the country.
This is after part of an Alaska Airlines plane burst open mid-flight this month. The U.S. Navy intercepting more attacks by Houthi rebels in Yemen on U.S. flagged ships in the Red Sea. No injuries or damage reported. President Biden picking up a major endorsement from the United Auto Workers Union. This is ABC News. Online retailer eBay cutting 1,000 jobs, or an estimated 9% of its full-time workforce. The layoffs mark the latest job cuts in the tech industry. 40 years ago today, the world of personal computing was changed forever.
The first ad ran during Super Bowl 18, an appropriate homage to George Orwell's dystopian novel, 1984.
On January 24th, Apple Computer will introduce Macintosh.
Even the commercial was considered groundbreaking, but exactly four decades later, the point-and-click icons of the Apple Macintosh are found on your own computer. The $2,500 that bought a Macintosh in 1984 will buy a MacBook Pro M3 today with infinitely more memory. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
An 11-year-old boy able to hear for the first time thanks to gene therapy. He was born deaf because of a rare gene mutation and has now received the experimental treatment at Philadelphia Children's Hospital. Boston and Chinese researchers say they've been able to use that to restore hearing in five kids. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try soon. Harry's is available online and in-store at a retailer near you. Get a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/quality. That's harrys.com/quality. Or check us out at your local Costco for a price you can't find anywhere else. Just look for the Chrome Razor with 13 blade refills at your local Costco. You can't miss it. Exclusive to Costco members.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. In his State of the State address Tuesday night, Governor Tony Evers called Wisconsin's workforce challenges the most significant facing the state. Evers also called for investment in child care, education, and expanded paid family leave. The Republican response to the address had State Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux saying that the state's revenue surplus should go back to taxpayers.
That surplus should not be spent to further grow the size of government, as the governor suggests, or create new entitlement programs, or even sit in a bank account in Madison earning interest. The surplus should be returned to the taxpayers, who have given the state government more than their money than is necessary.
Earlier in the day, a new tax cut package was introduced by Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature to use $2.1 billion of the state surplus. State Senate Republicans on Tuesday approved a revised version of Governor Evers' proposed legislative maps.
The changes avoid placing Republican incumbents in the same district running against each other. The tweaked maps passed on a 17-14 vote. Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein dismissed the plan as incumbent protection in an interview with WisPolitics. Majority Leader Devin Lemahue defended what he called minor changes to undo what he said was Evers' attempt to target Republican incumbents. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
It's more information on a death that Green Bay police deemed suspicious. Police have identified the man whose body was found lying in the snow in a business parking lot on the city's east side Saturday morning. It's 19-year-old Alejandro Morales Morales of Black Creek. Though the death is still considered suspicious, police say an initial investigation doesn't indicate that foul play was a factor. Morales Morales was reported missing by family earlier in the morning prior to the discovery of his body. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Too busy to cook tonight? Let the Rooster Tail do the cooking for you. The Rooster Tail features daily specials, including Taco Tuesdays, Wednesday Wings, Thursday's Burger of the Day, the Friday Fish Fry, and Saturday, receive $2 off all large pizzas. Have fun at the Rooster Tail with Thursday Bingo from 6 to 8 and karaoke Saturdays at 7. Visit their Facebook page for additional specials and events. For food and for fun, it's the Rooster Tail in downtown Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Cloudy and mild today as high temperatures spike to the upper 30s. With this warmth over the current snowpack, we're seeing patchy, dense fog at times. By tonight, there's a small chance of some light freezing rain, which could create some slick and slippery spots for tomorrow morning's commute. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Right now, 34 degrees.
Wow! 5 higher days in corn and soybean. Is a trend starting to build, or is it just a correction in an oversold market? More new highs for the move in cattle and hogs after yesterday's impressive chart breakouts. And what's up with China?
Live from El Cinco de Rally via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Arlen Suderman from StoneX. Directly following the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. Now, filling in for Chip, Michelle Rook. Good afternoon, Michelle.
Hey. Good afternoon. And before you call me out,
okay.
I know soybeans only closed like 0.75 cents higher, so wasn't a big gain today, but 5 days in a row, we'll still take it.
I'm calling it a breakout, baby. It's a breakout. It's a breakout. Maybe it's premature, but I don't care. It's a great song.
I like it.
It's a great idea. Let's break out, you know? Why not?
Yeah. Well, we'll find out if this is kind of a chart breakout or not. Soybeans actually went up, tested some resistance areas, and then kind of fell off of our highs. But corn also up into chart resistance. We'll see if we can take that out here in the near term. So
you bet. That'd be great.
Yeah, it's better than where we were a week ago. That's all I got to say.
Well, it is. And I got to tell you, sometimes we see, as much as we would like for markets to just rocket one way or the other. You know what I mean? Let's take feed buyers. You want meal to rocket to the downside. Corn sellers, you know, farmers, you got to get it out of the bin. You want a huge straight up and down upside move. The healthy moves don't come that way, do they, Michelle? A healthy market begins to build support, tests and fails here and there, confirms itself along the way. I feel like we're looking at very healthy markets right now. Michelle, your thoughts?
Yeah, you like them to be methodical. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about the coiling action in the corn the last few days, and some people are saying, hey, maybe that's the kind of the foundation, a longer term foundation level we're starting to build. So let's hope that it's not just wishful thinking on our part, but that there's some technicals to kind of put our money where our mouth is here. So,
well, and in a world where, you know, we've talked earlier this week and even before when you've hosted, you know, sometimes there are days when 1 or 2 cents feels like a dime or 15 cents. This 5 cents that we got in the corn market here feels like a super duper win.
Yeah, no doubt. We're looking at that 450, 452 area is big resistance. So that's going to be the next hurdle to get over here. But a nice close up into the highs for the day. We'll take it. Interesting news today as well. More stuff coming out of China. They cut their reserve rate for the banks to stimulate the economy. Boy, that's a theme we've been hearing a lot about. And we're going to talk about that and this big breakout that we've had in the livestock futures with Arlen Suderman from StoneX today.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, before we get to all that, let me just outline the news and the closes here. All three flavors of wheat took advantage of the softer dollar today. Russian wheat exports have become more diversified through the first half of 23-24, indicating the country has retaken its status as the cheapest origin globally. That will likely cap the upside for the time being. However, March SRW futures did close above key moving averages today, suggesting a measure of upside momentum may be expectable. March HRW wheat futures firmed 8¼ cents to 6.25¾. March SRW wheat added 14¼ cents to 6.10¾. March spring wheat closed at 7.04½. That's up 5½ cents today, Michelle.
Yeah, pretty decent close here. Again, we've got SRW wheat. We're going to be getting up into some key moving averages here quite quickly, and so we're going to be watching that. But the lower dollar today was in response to some of this China news that we talked about. So we'll see if maybe we're turning the trend on the dollar as well.
Well, dollar weakness allowed March corn futures to secure a close above 450. That's a level that futures refused yesterday. World Weather Inc. reports Argentina will be drying down over the next 10 days, increasing the need for widespread rain soon. Ethanol production during the weekend of Jan 19 declined 818,000 barrels. That's down 22% from the previous week and 21% below year ago, posting the lowest weekly production figure since February 2021. Ethanol stocks rose 120,000 barrels to a beefy 25.8 million barrels. Still, March corn futures gained 5¾, 4.52¼. May corn firmed 5¾ cents to 4.62½. July corn futures closed at 4.70¾. That's up 4¾ cents. Michelle, a little corn conga to celebrate our victory.
Yeah, and very well warranted here. When you consider that was a terrible ethanol production number this week.
We still
closed higher as a result. I think they're chalking that up to the cold weather and some of these plants being down. But needless to say, that's not good demand news. So the fact that we closed higher today, I think, was really impressive. Maybe a little bit of concern starting to creep in about the Argentina dryness you talked about.
Well, Michelle, soybean futures pivoted around unchanged in today's trade. Frequent rain will fall on much of northern Brazil during the next 2 weeks, slowing field work across the region. This according to World Weather. The range of harvest production estimates in Brazil vary widely on weather uncertainty. A decline in soybean oil alongside gains in crude oil futures had soybeans unsure which to follow. March futures fell back to a mid-range close after failing to breach near-term resistance around 12.46. March beans added 0.75 cents, 12.40¼. May beans down 0.5 cent, 12.46½. July closed at 12.52¾. That's down 1½ cents, Michelle.
Yeah, down just a little bit, a little tired today.
Yep. And quickly here before we get to Bubba, March cotton firmed 80 points, 85.40. February fat cattle up 70 cents, 175.35. March feeders up 12½ cents to close at 233.77½. And some corrective buying helped lean hog futures overcome notable overhead technical resistance. Feb hogs up 60 cents, 73.90. April hogs up $1.70 to 82.02½, Michelle.
Yeah, nice breakout there. All right, Todd Bubba Horwitz with BubbaTrading.com. Let's talk a little bit, Bubba, about some new highs again here in the S&P. Are we going to keep going that direction?
Hi, Michelle. What's up, handsome newsman? You know, there's a market that just doesn't care, and it's ignoring any news, and this is why you don't trade the news, why you trade the market. It's just going up, and there's nothing that's going to stop it right now, and I would suspect that this is going to continue until it doesn't. And right now we're making new highs in S&P, new highs in the NASDAQ, and there's been really very little weakness other than today. Now, interestingly enough, today the volatility index is a little bit higher, and the markets did come off pretty substantially from their earlier highs, but they're still well up on the day.
How much higher do you think we'll go here? What do the charts project us to?
Well, I think you'll see 5,000 in the S&P. You'll probably see 40,000 in the Dow and 18,000 in the NASDAQ if they want to keep going. Now, again, they could change. We could get a real news item that could change the direction, like a bank failure, which is probably on the near-term horizon at some point. But until there's a reason to sell and until the markets show you that they're going down, very similar to their grain markets. They just want to go down. They don't want to go up. No matter every rally gets sold versus every dip gets bought in the equities.
Yeah. Dollar down today in response to the China news or what?
No, the dollar's been doing very well and rallying. And I think it's, you know, listen, markets always get a little bit of a pause. And I don't think it's any different. I think the dollar is probably going to 105 or 106.
All right. Well, we'll see going forward. Thanks, Bubba. You have a great day.
Thank you, Michelle. Bye.
Todd Bubba. BubbaTrading.com. Well, we will be back with Arlen Suderman with StoneX to talk about not only China, but, you know, what's going on in livestock markets and can we keep these rallies going in the grains? More AgriTalk coming up.
There I was, driving along when I saw the corn laying down in the field, goosenecked again. Even though I tried everything, new traits, existing soil insecticides. Every corn grower knows the hassle of gooseneck corn. But now there's Narisma Insecticide from BASF, a better, stronger in-furrow insecticide that controls corn rootworm and below-ground pests. Stand up for your corn with Narisma Insecticide. Ask your authorized BASF retailer about Narisma and always read and follow label directions.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
I'm Ty Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
I taught for 20 years, until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation, together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Hey, Wisconsin soybean farmers. Do you know how your soybean checkoff helps fuel Wisconsin? Soybeans play a critical role in helping our communities, our economy, our environment, our future, our farms, and our world. Stop by the Wisconsin Soybean Booth at this year's Corn Soybean Expo, February 1st and 2nd at the Kalahari in Wisconsin Dells to learn how your Wisconsin soybean farmers and soybean checkoff are working hard to increase your impact from the farm to the future.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
This is one of my favorite bumps, Michelle.
Yeah, I like it. It's jazzy.
Yeah, jazzy, funky, you know, kind of like us. Don't you think?
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of cut you off just a little bit there. You had to cut yourself short in terms of the livestock here today. Was there anything else that you wanted to add?
Well, you know, just, and I'm sure you and Arlen can talk about this, this stuff. I mean, I hit the closes. We've got higher fed cattle, higher feeder cattle. Some wholesale fundamentals are improving, basically, to support those cattle. And then on the hog side, some corrective buying, really. Some overhead resistance, yeah. Near-term overbought, yeah. Still moderately higher in the hogs today. I like the way the hogs are set up here all week so far. So we'll have to see how we finish out the week on these. But that's about what I got.
Okay. Well, new highs for the move in both cattle and hogs today.
Well,
so like
go.
I said, kind of an impressive day overall. Well, Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist for StoneX, is joining us. Good to have you with us, Arlen. Good afternoon.
Well, it's good to be back here for the meat of the subject.
No doubt. Let's talk a little bit about China first off. China, China, China. It feels like that's all we talk about. But again, this morning, cutting their reserve rate for banks to stimulate the economy. This is not the first action that they've taken to stimulate the economy over the last several months. I guess the question is, do you think this will work?
I think that's the key question, because as an economy goes, really as a consumer sentiment goes, and consumer sentiment has really been hurting in China. There's a growing distrust in whether the government either knows how to or is willing to make the changes necessary to turn its economy around. Its problems are multiple in fashion. Part of it is because U.S. and Europe are deleveraging away from the Chinese economy. In other words, we're sourcing our goods that we consume from other countries other than China. We're starting to diversify away from China after COVID and some of the tensions that we've had in recent years. That's hurting their economy, hurting their manufacturing sector. But also, when they went through COVID and came back out, their property markets never did. And their property markets can make up over 30% of GDP. The average household, 40% of their assets are wrapped up in property. So when property is going down in value, they think, oh, I better be conservative on what I spend. So they're not buying the big ticket items. That means cars. That means a property. And their local, when they do stimulus, typically the central government says, okay, do this program. And then they expect the local governments to take out the debt in order to do it. So their local governments are becoming very debt ridden right now. How do their local governments pay for their debt? On taxes on property sales. So if property's not selling, they're not generating the tax revenue, and they're in trouble now. So that means something has to change, something has to give. And the consumers there are very skeptical. This latest move was done after the Chinese markets closed today, so we'll have to wait until overnight to see how their market reacts to it. Previous was bigger than some of the other things they've done, so maybe it'll get a better response. Maybe it was big enough to have an impact, but I'm a little bit skeptical until I see that property market really turn around.
Yeah, and this slowdown has had a spillover effect into our U.S. export market, has it not?
Yeah, that certainly does affect demand for commodities, although we have seen Chinese demand for commodities overall be good. It's just that they're not buying from us is the primary problem, because Brazil and Ukraine have had so much cheaper sources. Ukraine and Brazil both for corn and Brazil for soybeans. For example, right now I get a bid sheet every morning from our China staff, and they factor in after all the FOB bids at the various locations, and then freight rates and import taxes and currency exchange rates. What does it come down to for a bushel of soybeans coming from Brazil or Argentina versus U.S. Gulf or the PNW? And right now, a bushel of beans shipped in February, March, or April, take your pick, is $2 a bushel cheaper than something coming from the U.S. Gulf. Where do you think China's going to buy, let alone the tensions between us? They're going to buy from Brazil just because of price, because they are very price sensitive.
Right. We have become the second supplier, unfortunately. What is, you know, what you said about the Brazil basis levels and what cash prices are doing there, what keys does that give you in terms of the crop size there? Brazil's soybean market, the crash that you've seen in those soybean basis levels, is the market worried about a short crop?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because if we had a short crop here in the United States in the Midwest, and if farmers were getting out there and starting to harvest and said, oh boy, this crop is really short, would they be anxious sellers? No, they would be holding tight because they'd be convinced prices are going higher. And farmers are the same in Brazil as they are here from their mentality toward marketing. And what we're seeing is a crash of basis levels in Brazil, saying as they're starting to harvest, they are selling soybeans. And so while our bean prices, at least until recent days, have been falling sharply, Brazil beans have been falling even faster in order to get that $2 cheaper than U.S. Gulf soybeans. And that tells me that their cash market is not worried about this being a short soybean crop. Maybe there'll be surprises down the road, but at this point, we don't see evidence of it.
So some of these private forecasts, even from some of the farm groups down there, in down to the low watermark of what, 130, 135. Do you think the crop is that low down there?
No, and I always look to the source of the estimate, where it's coming from. Does that source have a reason to be biased? And so what I've seen so far of the low estimates, they tend to come from organizations that have a benefit from trying to stimulate the market, and the market's simply not buying those numbers. I do think the production estimates have come lower. In fact, we're lower than USDA or CONAB right now at 152.8. I suspect that our estimate will continue to come down. Our estimate is based on farmer surveys. I think it'll come down. Typically, farmer surveys in bad crop years tend to go too low and then bounce back up a little bit. My guess right now, where I'm at, and this is where I've been for the last month, it'll end up somewhere in a 148 million metric ton level, plus or minus 1 or 2 million metric tons. That would not be enough to justify rationing U.S. demand with higher prices, unless we would start to see a failure with the Argentine crop. Yes, they are drying out down there right now, but they have good soil moisture reserves right now. The heat so far is focused to the west of the main crop producing area. If that changes and the dryness lasts longer than expected and the heat shifts to the east into those crop producing areas, that could certainly change. But it's kind of like the equivalent of June in our Midwest growing season right now in Argentina.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about Brazil, but Argentina obviously almost doubling their production after the big drought last year. And just recently, the last few days, we started to hear of heat and dryness there. But you say it's too early to be concerned about that, obviously.
Yeah, I really think it is too early. And the heat is primarily to the west of the primary growing regions. That could change, but so far that's the case.
I have to ask you about Argentina, though. Their runaway inflation, you know, even if they get a bigger crop this year, will the farmers there sell it, or what's going to happen?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it has big implications for us longer term. Argentina's agricultural resources are tremendous. They could be a real powerhouse of agricultural production and exports, except for their very poor economic conditions and their policies over the years of taxing agricultural production to a third of its value. And so they just elected in, and he went into office last month, what you may consider like a libertarian candidate. And he campaigned on a promise of turning Argentina around by slashing taxes, but slashing benefits as well. That's one thing to get elected. It's another thing to get those implemented when people realize, wait a minute, that means cutting my benefits, because their social programs, which were huge, were largely funded on these taxes on agricultural exports. But right now, he's in office. He's starting to try to move things through. He does not have a majority of their legislature, so he's really working to try to maintain some momentum. If he is successful, that's still a big if he is successful, then we will see those taxes ratchet down and a stabilization of the peso and a stabilization of inflation. We're not there yet. So when the farmers right now are holding on to what they do have, crops are smaller in recent years, but they're holding on to what they do have because the peso is still losing value. If he gets it stabilized, that's when they start selling and they have these big crops coming on. So that's what we're going to be paying attention to.
Yeah, and then are they going to lower their export taxes too at some point?
Yeah, they're talking about slashing them dramatically, if not cutting them entirely. I don't think they'll be able to cut them entirely, but slashing them dramatically, like from 33% to maybe 6% or so.
Yeah, that's a big source of income for the government, so obviously you can't slash them too far. All right, stay tuned. Arlen Suderman joining us with StoneX. When we come back, we're going to talk about whether the lows are in corn and soybeans, and then what about inflation? Is it going to creep back in, and what does that mean for the ag sector? Coming up here on AgriTalk.
Potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing. And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our farmers' first philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. Where March HRW wheat futures firmed 8¼ cents to 625¾. March soft red wheat added 14¼ cents to 610¾. March corn futures gained 5¾ cents to 452¼. May corn firmed 5¾ cents to 462½. March soybean futures added 0.75 cents to 1240¼. May beans off 0.5 cent, 1246½. March cotton firmed 80 points to 85.40. On the livestock side, February fat cattle firmed 70 cents, 175.35. March feeders up 12.5 cents to close at 233.77½. February lean hog futures firmed 60 cents to 73.90. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Cloudy and mild today, as high temperatures spike to the upper 30s. With this warmth over the current snowpack, we're seeing patchy, dense fog at times. By tonight, there's a small chance of some light freezing rain, which could create some slick and slippery spots for tomorrow morning's commute.
Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Right now, 34 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins.
Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook in for the vacation Chip Flory. Arlen Suderman is joining us with StoneX. And I have so much more I want to talk to you about, Arlen. But, of course, you maybe heard us talk about at the beginning of this show, corn and soybeans up for the fifth day. And this has been since these reversals we put in last Thursday. So are we actually putting in the winter lows, or are we just trying to correct the oversold status of this market?
Yeah, fundamentally, nothing has really changed. Yeah, we've increased feed usage with the cold weather to some extent, and that's helpful. But we still have over a 2 billion bushel carryout with no indications that change. Maybe we can get a weather concern out of Brazil for their winter corn crop. Doesn't really exist yet, but the odds are higher this year of having such. But here's the bottom line. Friday's CFTC report showed that managed money, particularly the hedge funds, the speculative hedge funds, had built near record large short positions or sold positions in the grain and oilseed complex, just pretty much across the board. And we were getting into oversold conditions on the market. When you vet prices this low relative to where we've been and you're getting oversold, and those positions are so, the short positions are so large, who gets nervous? End users start getting nervous because they know if there's a headline that comes across out of the Black Sea, Red Sea, or wherever it might be that causes those funds to unwind their short positions, your upside price risk rises dramatically. The speculative trader starts worrying about the same thing. What if that happens? So both start buying in there. And as we start buying, we stabilize the market. It starts to turn higher like we are now. And then the momentum trading algos start buying as well. And you get a nice little correction higher. We still don't see anything fundamentally to indicate that the bottom is in, but we can say it's gotten cheap enough. At least for now, traders are uncomfortable taking it lower, and so we're getting a bit of a bounce higher.
Yeah, and we maybe got to a level where we got some value buying, perhaps at, you know, the lower end of that trading range. I got to ask you about this ethanol production number this morning in the EIA report, down 23% from last week. Was that just because of the cold weather?
Yeah, it's primarily because of cold weather. We've been pushing ethanol at a pretty good rate. And as you know, it's a bacterial process to create ethanol from the cornstarch. And so when it gets cold, those plants get cold too, especially when it gets as cold as what it was, and really slows down the process of production. Now, stocks didn't go down. They actually crept a tick higher on the week. And that's largely because the winter storms and the cold was so bad, driving really decreased as well. And so with less driving, less blending, we didn't use as much either. Now, unfortunately, it means lost corn demand to offset some of the increased feed demand overall. We do expect this to bounce back to the levels that we were before. Probably not going to be in next week's data. It's probably going to take a couple weeks based on history to be able to bounce back to the levels we were before. We actually were lower than this during that big Arctic outbreak that we had in February of 21. Last year we had an Arctic outbreak. We didn't bounce this low. I mean, we didn't fall this far. So we outdid that, but not as much as the one in February of 21.
Right. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about something that you and I visited about when we were at the Water Street Edge Conference out in Tucson, Arizona, a couple weeks ago, and that is the funds being so short, especially in the grain market, in relationship to inflation data. And let's walk through this. First of all, inflation. Do you expect it to return in 2024? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I do. I don't think we get down to the 2% level and hold it. I do think we have a rebound probably in the second or third quarter of this year. There's a number of reasons for that. Shelter costs. We still have a shortage of shelter. Whenever the economy starts to rebound and interest rates drop, we see the demand for shelter come back and prices come back. Labor's another one. We still have a shortage of labor in this country. There's various reasons for that, but wage inflation has not gone away. Another factor is the increasing tightening of credit caused by government spending right now. Whenever the government spends money it doesn't have, it has to issue a debt certificate or a treasury note, for example, in order to fund that spending spending project. And the estimates are that this year, congressional spending is going to increase the number of debt certificates offered to the market by 23% across the yield curve on average. That's a huge increase in the supply of treasuries. When anything increases in supply, whether it be crude oil or corn or treasuries, the value goes down. Well, with treasuries, when their value goes down, their yields go up. And so the Fed only controls the overnight rate, the very short-term overnight rate. They don't control the longer-term end of the yield curve. And so I think we're going to see upward pressure on the far end of the yield curve. Actually, not the far end, but everything beyond the short term, I think we're going to see that upward pressure. That also contributes to higher costs, just like the farmer's higher operating costs contribute to higher interest payments that he has to recover from higher grain prices if he can get it. And so we do expect inflation to come back this year.
So what does that mean for the Fed here because of the position it puts them in when we have all this talk about maybe as many as 6 rate cuts here in 2024?
Yeah, the market's been wrong about that for the last year and a half on what we're going to do on rate hikes or rate cuts. And I suspect they're going to continue to be wrong. And as we go forward, right now, the Fed is also tightening its balance sheet. In other words, reducing its balance sheet, doing so by buying $1.14 trillion fewer debt certificates per year than what they were previously. Fewer buyers. I think in order to contain the increase in rate hikes and contain the credit crunch problems later this year, they're going to have to actually turn around and start quantitative easing again, start expanding their balance sheet once again, which tends to, again, be devalue the dollar. There's other factors involved in that as well, including the value of the euro and what's happening in Europe. But that is also inflationary and another factor there.
Now, in 2021, the reason that we're talking about this, the funds bought grains as a hedge against inflation. So do you see them, now that they've been short in so many things and they're so short in all of the grains right now, will they come back in 2024 to buy commodities?
Yeah, what we've done is we've created this commodity index to track the value of a basket of commodities. So it's got the grain and oil seeds in it, it's got the energies in it, the livestock, the softs, precious metals, industrial metals, all in there. And then we track each sector as well. And the grain and oil seeds track extremely close to the overall. So I'm just going to talk primarily about the overall commodity tracker. And then we start comparing it against other things. And one of those things we did is against the 5-year break-even inflation rate. That is traded every day. That's what the market thinks inflation is going to average over the next 5 years. So coming out of the pandemic, the stimulus checks were in the economy. We were reopening the economy. People were excited to get out and spend money. We expected inflation. The expectations were inflation. So the 5-year break-even inflation index started trending higher. And so did money then into the commodities, because the fund said, if inflation's going higher, as you indicated, they want to protect their portfolios by owning commodities, and that would help protect the value of their portfolio as inflation went up. Then in March of 22, the Fed started raising interest rates. The objective was to bring inflation down by taking us toward a recession in order to bring inflation under control. So inflation expectations start to decline. And there's about a 2 to 3 month lag here for the money flow into the commodities or out of it either way. So by June, then about mid-June, the funds went from wanting to be long the commodities to wanting to be short the commodities or selling them. And so they built short positions, some very large short positions in nearly all commodities. There were a few exceptions where a commodity had a strong story, but otherwise their default was to short the commodities. Now, if inflation starts coming back, they'll be saying, based on history, do we want to remain short? Probably not, depending on the commodity again. But overall, for the overall default is to get out of the short position, start owning it. Why does that matter? We have found that that impacts the level at which the market manages supply and demand with the same fundamentals. So you can still have these same fundamentals, which really aren't that bullish, but the market can manage it at a higher level if inflation expectations are coming back than if it would if we thought we were still in a deflationary mode.
No doubt. So what is the timing of that? When would the funds come back in? And if they start covering their short position, how much of a rally could we get in the grains as a result?
Yeah, it could be stimulated at any point. And as Bubba was pointing out earlier in talking to you, it doesn't have to be a big rally or anything like that. But the timing I would anticipate sometime in the second or third quarter, but it could be stimulated by any type of event related to the war in the Middle East, the war in the Black Sea, something with China. Anything could stimulate it. Even a weather story could stimulate anything to start showing that inflation is coming back. The CPI popped in the last report that we got earlier this month. That's what I'm looking for. I think the timing is wrong. We may see that pull back again next month again. I think it'll start popping as we go later in the second quarter. And then again, there's a 2 to 3 month lag typically, although it could still be stimulated by any type of real story that gets the fund's attention.
Do they cover their whole short position and then start moving long or not?
If you have a particular commodity has really bearish fundamentals, they might not cover it. But overall, we would anticipate, based on history, that they would cover the bulk of their short positions and build long ownership.
All right. Well, let's hope that if they do that, that creates some sort of a pricing opportunity here in the grains and other commodities for producers. All right, Arlen. Good stuff. Good stuff. Arlen Suderman with StoneX joining us. When we come back, we are going to talk about livestock and some of these chart breakouts that we've had. Is it all technical or fundamental? More AgriTalk coming up.
Don't miss out on limited-time appliance deals during the closeout event at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, save an extra $100 when you spend $999 or more on all major appliances. Hurry, these deals are too good to last long. Shop in-store or online today, because Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid 1-4 through 1-24. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for details.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more straight talk. Let's take a moment to appreciate our sweet children, loving grandparents, and eternal soulmates. Now let's use them to save money on wireless. Because with the Straight Talk Silver plan, you get 4 lines for just $25 a month with unlimited data and no contracts. Thanks, kids. They're finally worth it.
And now get a Samsung Galaxy A14 included when you buy an extended Silver Unlimited plan. Find us at straighttalk.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit straighttalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. Online only, excludes taxes and fees.
My daughter is normally a little goofball. But after a bad night's sleep, she's too tired to be anything. That's why I trust Pure Z's Kids. Pure Z's Kids is mindfully formulated just for kids. Their non-habit forming, drug-free products help my daughter fall asleep naturally, giving her the rest to be her best.
I'm a dinosaur.
Her best dinosaur.
Pure Z's Kids, for ages 4 and up when needed. Explore our products at ZQuil.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Jackson Hewitt has a plan to get your tax refund fast. With a buck, buck here, buck, buck there. Here, buck, there, buck, everywhere, buck, buck.
You don't have to wait weeks for your tax refund. Get money sooner with a no-fee refund advance loan at Jackson Hewitt.
On this loan, there's a money today guarantee. E-I-E-I-D-O.
Don't settle for chicken feed. Get fast bucks at Jackson Hewitt today. No-fee refund advance loans by Republic Bank offered to eligible clients. Money today guarantee if approved for a loan on a prepaid card. Details at JacksonHewitt.com.
Combat stigma.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts, so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
To be a farmer is to be an eternal optimist, trusting in the certainty of the seasons. Where launching into new frontiers enables us to find new yields. Commodity Classic is where you'll connect with progressive farmers from around the world, just like you. And together, we'll explore new frontiers in agriculture. Join us in Houston, February 28th through March 2nd, 2024. Houston, we have no problem. Discover more at CommodityClassic.com.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And it's the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Michelle Rook in for Chip Flory, and we're going to make Arlen Suderman stick around for a little bit longer from StoneX. As long as I got you, I'm going to put you to work, Arlen. Let's talk about the livestock sector. Nice closes yesterday. Today, we made new highs for the move in both cattle and hogs. And I don't know if we can talk about this together, if we need to pick it apart, but cattle, are the funds coming back in there to buy, do you think?
They are. And, of course, the story in cattle is the shrinking herd size, and we'll get a cattle inventory report coming out at the end of the month, right, which we expect to show another decline of 2.5% in the size of the herd, the breeding herd, speaking of. But, you know, we had the big rally based on those expectations and tightening supplies. And then because of the weather in the West, we pulled a bunch of cattle forward and had several back-to-back-to-back cattle on feed reports where we really pulled a lot of young, lighter weight cattle forward. Part of it is because grain was getting cheaper and pastures were withering, and so we pulled them in. Now we're starting to get on the back side of that. So we liquidated long positions. Now the funds are starting to get back in. And then we were still dealing with the meat supply being big because of all that. We had a nice fall and early winter period. We were getting nice gains.
And record weights.
Feeding to heavier, that's exactly right. Feeding to heavier weights because corn was cheap. And that was a problem then, even with the lower numbers. And then lo and behold, this winter blast comes in. Some of these feedlots are saying that the cattle lost more than 100 pounds per animal, and let alone the disruptions in transportation and in slaughter schedules, getting workers to the plants, et cetera. So we really took care of that meat supply surplus situation, and the boxed beef prices really popped, and we got choice cuts back over $300 yesterday, pulled back a little bit this morning, haven't seen this afternoon's numbers yet, but we're up around $300. And that's supporting some better bids for today. We've seen so far a few cattle move this week, generally slightly higher than last week. We're expecting basically steady to a dollar higher this week for cash cattle. Hogs, we're seeing some good numbers as well. And so the money is starting to come back into the protein complex.
Yeah. Choice boxes here today closing down 216 at 299.50, but right around the $300 mark. And like you say, we have had a big rally off of the January lows over $25. So just this little correction isn't anything to be too concerned about, is it?
Yeah. And then you look about the November feeder cattle contract, 265, closing at 265.75. versus the January contract right now at $231.75. So what is that, $34 premium in the November over now, pricing in the expectations of fewer cattle as we get later in the year.
Yeah, and I think we've had like 38% retracement levels on a lot of these cattle contracts. You know, everybody's like, are we going to get to 50%? Are we going to go back and retest the highs? What would it take for us to get back up there, do you think?
Again, it's going to come down to whether we get that shortage of supplies. And I say the big thing is, what does the economy do in consumer confidence? Right now, we're starting to trend back higher with consumer confidence, meaning they're more willing to pay more money for the higher cuts of meat. If the economy would turn south sharply, then the consumer says, no, I'm going from steak to hamburger, or I'm going from hamburger to pork or to poultry. They go down the value chain. So it really comes down to what the consumer will support. Now, we saw a tremendous amount of imports of beef last year, and a lot of that was related to the drought and dryness that they were having in Australia and New Zealand. Now we hope that those imports start decreasing, and we can get back to more dependency on the U.S. supplies, and that the consumer is feeling good and willing to pay the money for it.
Right. So hogs have had a chart breakout here as well, especially in that April contract. So has this been technically driven, or what fundamentally has pushed this market?
Well, part of it was, again, weather, because we did have a lot of disruptions, and we even hurt the performance of animals. Even though most of our hogs are finished indoors, the cold was sharp enough that it did affect performance to some extent, let alone the transportation into packing plants. So we did take some meat off of the market. So that helped. We're also looking at product. If we look in the cold storage report, just looking at the numbers that came out while we were talking, total pork supplies went up 2.8% month on month, but we're still down 3.6% year on, 6.4% year on year. So we're still looking at lower pork supplies. Our exports have been really solid. And the consumer's still paying up for the pork. So if we can get these numbers, we're past the main peak period for slaughter now. So hopefully we're getting things in better balance.
No doubt. Slaughter figures today back up to 126,000 head on the beef and 493,000 head on hogs. So we're pretty much back to normal, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Finally getting it back closer to normal today. And now we need to see the carcass weights going forward, particularly for cattle here over the next couple of weeks. And I think we'll see those declining carcass weights.
Yeah. China hog herd. Talk about what's going on with that real quick and what that means for our market.
Yeah, they've had an oversupply of pork. There's many reasons for that overall. The government's been trying to encourage liquidation of the breeding herd, and they've been doing so. Per capita consumption is leaking lower. Their population dropped by 2.1 million last year, so they need less pork.
All right. Well, hopefully at some point we're going to get some export business from China. We just haven't seen it yet, have we?
No. And they're still producing more than they need. Hopefully that turns out. Other customers have been really great, though, for pork.
Yeah, Mexico, number one buyer. So thank you to Mexico for that. All right, Arlen, thank you so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you very much.
That's Arlen Suderman. He is chief commodities economist with Stone X. As far as the outlook for tomorrow coming up, I am going to be hosting the morning show. We have Chandler Gould from the National Association of Wheat Growers. We have Steve Sensky. He is CEO of the American Soybean Association. And then remember yesterday we talked about that big SAF plant that is going to be seeing groundbreaking in Georgia. We're going to talk about that with Lonnie Shaw with the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association. So for Davis Michelson and Joe Steckler, I'm Michelle Rook. Thanks for joining us today for AgriTalk.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf.
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Dolphin? What does the turkey say? Whale.
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia